Hello.
My name is Allie, and I'm the host of Funny Fat Friend, a podcast about this bodacious biracial babe trying to find herself in film. Welcome back to my bi-weekly mini-episode series, Dope Ass Rex, where I recommend some dope ass films that I love for you to check out as well. I'm gonna have a couple older films, a couple newer films, and a wild card pick for you if you want to get weird. Alright, so let's do it. First up is going to be the film Happy Together. It's from 1997. It was directed by Wong Kar-wai, which I hope that is the correct way to pronounce his name. I looked for interviews, but nobody would ever say his name, so I hope that it's correct. I do not think he's going to listen to my podcast, but, you know, it's courteous to try to do your best. So that's what I'm going to do. This is one of the most important films ever made. Which, okay, yeah, I know sounds really dramatic, but I am very confident that it is true. It follows a couple navigating love, cultural identity, queerness, wanderlust, marginalization, and there's tango. It takes its title from the hit song by the Turtles. The film charts two men's stormy relationship as it ebbs, explodes, resumes, and dies against a backdrop of decaying tenements, back streets, and seedy tango bars. The couple's on-again, mostly off-again, affair can be read as an allegory of Hong Kong's then-imminent handover to mainland China, which is still really poignant right now with everything happening in Hong Kong. It's such a deeply human film, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, it's all I can really think to describe it, I guess. It's exploring a life so unlike your own. I think that's really important and necessary and should be a part of your life. And I think it should be, yeah, a part of everyone's lives. It's important to me, and so I don't know. I guess it doesn't have to be important to you, but it fulfills me in so many more ways, experiencing and making the effort to learn about lives that are different than mine. Yeah, that makes sense. Everybody, yeah, should do that. For the film heads out there... Is that what we call ourselves? Film heads? I don't think so. It sounds stupid. Yeah, what is it? What is the word? Oh, I have like a card game. Cinephile. Cinephile. That's the word. For the cinephiles out there, you'll see the strong lighting inspiration that the cinematographer James Laxton used for, the little old Best Picture film that he worked on called... Moonlight. So yeah, get into this film ASAP. You can watch it on Prime Video or the Criterion Channel, which is worth it. I highly recommend if you like film at all, are at all interested in being able to watch really, really, really incredible film for not much money, the Criterion Collection is a really good investment when it comes to a streaming app. I love it. I watch it often. If that's what you're into, highly recommend. Okay, my next recommendation is a documentary from 2002 called Spellbound. I randomly remembered this film while we were filming a video yesterday for our YouTube channel, and I went back to relive its incredible glory. It follows eight contestants in the 1999 Scripps National Spelling Bee, each of which will latch on to some part of your heart in such, like, a wildly different way. You won't believe how much you will genuinely care for these kids. We watched this movie in high school, in, like, my high school film/drama class. Because that's what we did. But we were cool. We had a cool high school. And it's a spectacular memory. Even if you have zero interest in spelling bees or haven't thought about their existence since that time, you know, a moment from one went viral on Vine, iridocyclitis. That fucking iconic. What a king that kid was. Anyway, I recommend you give this a chance. If you like to laugh, or if you like having some feelings sometime, this is a really good watch for you. You can stream it for free with ads on Tubi or Peacock, or you can rent it for just $2 on Google Play or YouTube, which are the same thing, but, you know, whichever works for you. Okay, so those were my older recommendations, which both of them weren't, like, that old. But we are in 2021, so they are, kind of. The documentary is now 19 years old, and then, yeah, Happy Together is 25 years old. Time? What a bitch. Okay. Now we're going to move on to newer films. My first one. It's from 2019, and it's called Burning Cain. It was the first feature-length film directed by Philip Eumanns, who also wrote, shot, and edited it. And he did it all as a senior in high school when he was 17 years old. Doesn't that make you want to just, like, lay down and reflect on all the dumb shit you were doing at 17? What the fuck? Oh, man. Yeah, I was, like, reenacting SNL skits and having bad makeout sessions and wearing too many blazers at 17. Oh, what a bummer. But here's Philip over here making an incredible film. But whatever, let's actually talk about the film, okay? It's set among the cane fields of rural Louisiana. It follows a deeply religious, God-fearing mother struggling to reconcile her tightly held convictions of faith with the love that she has for her troubled, self-destructive son, while also witnessing her dejected pastor's decline. It's a really intimate drama that captures the complexity and complacency of family life and religion in rural Louisiana. With the way he shoots it and the way he edited it, I guess. It's like, it's very spare. It's like sparse and minimalistic. It feels like a documentary, but it's a fiction. But yeah, he's able to capture the daily lives of the characters and the natural beauty of the town in, I'm going to say human again, a human way. It is. It's just, it humanizes these, like, really, really troubled, hard, it's not hard to watch, but, like, tough realities. It's taking these very realistic, like, there's pieces of this family in every family, is, I guess, what I'm kind of trying to say. And so it shows us those things, it faces those things to us in a way that is just really incredible. It's not in a way that makes you want to look away or feel ashamed, but to see them for the complexity and, like, passion and beauty within them. Yeah, it's really amazing. It won the 2019 Tribeca Film Festival Founders Award. It was the winner for Best Narrative Feature, making Eumanns not only the first Black person to win the award, but also the youngest director to ever have a film selected for the festival, which is bonkers, but makes sense. He is incredible. And on top of all that, the poster for the film is one of the most lovely works of art I have ever seen, and I would very much like to have a print of it. If anyone knows how to get me one of those, let a girl know, or you can give that to me. I will accept multiple of them. If everyone wants to send me one, it'd be dead. Okay, cool. Please excuse the people who live above me. I guess use their room above me as, like, a gym. So there's always, like, stuff like rolling around, being dropped, jumping and things. So, you know, we live our lives. Thanks for not going to the gym, ladies. All right. My next new film recommendation is... I had like a tough time writing this one up. But I do like generally really, really enjoy it. Not everybody in the world seems to have enjoyed it. But it's An American Pickle, and it's from 2020. It's from last year. It was adapted by Simon Rich from his 2013 New Yorker novella, Sellout. And it stars Seth Rogen as the character Herschel Greenbaum, who is a struggling laborer who immigrates to America in 1919 with dreams of building a better life for his beloved family. One day while he's working at his factory job, he falls into a vat of pickles and is brined for 100 years. Somehow, the brine preserves him perfectly, and when he emerges in present-day Brooklyn, he finds that he hasn't aged a day. But when he seeks out his family, he learns that he only has one surviving relative, and it's his great-grandson, Ben Greenbaum, who is also played by Seth Rogen in this parent trap mess. And his great-grandson is a mild-mannered computer coder whom Herschel can't even begin to understand. It's comedy and weird, and there's just bonkers shit ensues, and it's a very fun time. I know that, like, yeah. It's super weird, and I almost didn't watch it, and then I did, and I really, really liked it. It was very wholesome and fun. It's really dumb, but that's fun and good, and that content is worthwhile. So that's our fun, dumb thing for new films. All right, so we've made it to now my wild card pick for this episode. And it's gonna be the 2007 American computer animated mockumentary comedy film, Surf's Up. Okay, stay with me. I rewatched this for the first time in a while the other weekend, and it was such a fucking great time. Okay? It is a great, delightful fucking time. It definitely got like washed out by the excitement of Happy Feet. I remember when Happy Feet came out and that's all people could talk about. And then another Penguin movie came out and nobody went and saw it. Except me. So, Surf's Up, it follows a penguin named Cody Maverick from Antarctica who enters a surfing contest inspired by the late great surfing bird Big Z. And while he's at the contest, he meets some unlikely friends and develops his skills at surfing, life, and love. Y'all, I should write synopses professionally. So yeah, it's very goofy and dumb. But honestly, it is a damn delight. I have it on DVD. And I can send it to you if you need. It's also now streaming on Netflix. At least it was a couple weeks ago. I should have checked again to see if it still is there. Surf's Up. I also saw that they like made a sequel, but I haven't watched it. It's one of those things that, you know, it seems like the sequel doesn't have anything to do with the first movie. Which, yeah. We watched Benchwarmers 2 the other weekend, and that was really awful. Not to say that Benchwarmers 1 is really great, but it does make me laugh really hard. But Benchwarmers 2 is an absolute abomination. It's also on Netflix, though, so if you want to check that out. Alright, those are my dope-ass recs. Let me know if you enjoyed this, and if you don't, leave me alone. I don't care. I'll be back next time with a new full-length episode. It'll probably be a couple weeks. So if you're listening to this, Spider-Man 3 is coming, but I am so tired and busy. I don't think I'm going to get it done, like, organized, linked up, ready to go by next week to have come out. It'll probably be in a couple weeks. So look forward to that. It's gonna come, I promise. I know we're all waited on bated breath for it. I am also excited. I am unbelievably excited for this one to relive that masterpiece. But it'll be a little bit, so have patience, please. In the meantime, yeah, if you're desperate to hear me talk, check out our YouTube channel. It could be worse on YouTube. If you follow me on social media, then I usually have the link to it everywhere, all over the place. So check it out. And as always, I've been your friendly neighborhood fat friend, Allie. And you just got wrecked. Okay, I'll talk to you next time.
Bye.